Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. We welcome on to it, Joe. Hiya, Joe.
Hiya, Greg.
Nice to speak to you. Right, Joe, you've been through a journey as of late. Yeah. What is your situation, your general health situation, before you caught the coronavirus?
I would suffer with hypertension, high blood pressure. I have an enlarged aortic valve, and most people's valves in their hearts have three flaps. Mine's only has two, and it's leaking slightly.
Right, so that's underlying health conditions then, isn't it? Really, that's how we design that, right? So when did you start to wonder if you maybe had been infected?
I didn't really realise I was infected until kind of midweek, kind of up before the 28th, you know, the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The week before, my body was sore, my back was sore. I do suffer with a sore back from time to time, and I was sore all the time, and I was taking painkillers for it, you know. But up until then, you know, I felt fine. But then I did start coughing, and it wasn't until kind of midweek I thought I need to get something done here, and I contacted my GP.
And the cough, was the cough a different type of cough? How regular was it? Was it a dry cough at that stage? Or?
Yeah, it was a dry cough. I was coughing up phlegm, so it was.
Right, okay. Now, we had been, at that point, we were well aware of it. I mean, have you any suspicions how you managed to contract it? Or like, were you being particularly cautious? Or what was the situation, Joe, there?
I honestly don't know how I got it. I know my daughter did get a call from the HSE saying that she possibly was in contact with someone in the 10th
of
March.
Yeah.
But, you know, she had no symptoms or nothing, and there's no one else in the house with symptoms. I honestly don't know where I got it.
Right, okay. Right, so you began feeling off yourself a little bit around about St. Patrick's Day. Then it got worse, and then you called the GP. So when was it that you called the GP, and what happened from there?
I called the GP, I think it was the Thursday or the Friday, and they organised tests in Letterkenny,
mm-hmm.
up at the GAA.
St. Unions, yeah.
Yeah, and for 11:30, and my wife took me up. Now, I was in a bad way then. I was coughing a lot, but the test was done, and the Sunday, I didn't really want to get out of bed. But my wife made me get out of bed, and I had a wee quick shower, and kind of felt a bit better, but I was still coughing. And I didn't realise, it was only until I came home where my wife says my breathing was shallow.
Right.
And on the Monday morning, I couldn't take it no more. You know, my temperature was skyrocket. My temperature was 40.2.
My word.
And I rang a GP at 9:15, and they contacted you back. And within minutes, I got a call back from my local GP in Buncrana.
Yes.
And he told me that my test results was back already, which I was shocked because I was told it's 5 to 7 days. And he says, you're positive. And I just said, look, I can't get a breath. I'm burning up here. And he asked me, could I get to the hospital? And I says, my wife could take me. He says, no. And he sent an ambulance, and I was taken in by ambulance on Monday morning.
Man, that was last Monday, was it?
Monday week.
Right, okay, sorry, I'm terrible with dates. Right, so yeah, when Monday you got into hospital then, what was your care at that point?
Well, on the ambulance, they gave me a nebulizer, which I don't even know if helped or not. But when I got to the hospital, they took blood out of basically my wrist and sent me for x-rays, and kind of within 5 or 10 minutes after the x-ray was done, it seemed to be panic stations. The doctor came and said to me, you're going under now, do you want to let your wife know?
Wow.
And I started texting my wife, and I thought, no, I better phone her. So I phoned her and let her know that I was going under, and that's not what I wanted, but that saved my life.
Now, so obviously the lung x-ray showed that this COVID disease had taken hold in your lungs.
Yeah, I had double pneumonia.
Wow. No. Unbelievable. Now, were you put under to go on a ventilator?
Yes, I was on a ventilator, yeah.
Right, and that you do that unconsciously? In other words, you're unconscious whilst you're on the ventilator.
Yeah.
Right. So you were put to sleep on Monday, put on the ventilator. That was Monday week last. When did you awaken?
They transferred me to Galway on Tuesday morning, from what I've been told. And I was told that was just because Galway had more room than Letterkenny. I was wakened on Thursday, midday or thereabouts, I don't know. And it just seemed like 10 minutes to me. And I asked the nurse, what day is it? And she said, it's Thursday, the 2nd of April.
And you in Galway?
Me in Galway. With no clothes, no nothing, because they couldn't take my clothes with me or my telephones or nothing. Due to fear of contamination and the ambulance. So I was in Galway with no contact with family at all. And I was still, at that stage when they woke me, I was still cocooned, as I would say. I still had like a hood over my head and I was still getting oxygen.
And was that being given by a mask at that point, Joe?
Yeah, complete. My head was completely covered, yeah.
And do you have anything at that point of the treatment, do you have anything inserted, you know, into a navel or your mouth or like, in other words, to assist you with breathing?
Oh, I had the oxygen strain on my neck as well.
Into your neck?
Yeah, they had pipes stitched under my neck. There was 5 or 7 stitches holding a pipe under my neck as well.
And that was being pushed down into your lungs, presumably?
Yeah.
So that was regulating your breathing at that point. So what would, I mean, if you hadn't had the intervention at that stage, if these amazing staff hadn't known what to do as they do, would you have died?
Yeah.
So it was this machine kept you alive Monday to Thursday to allow your body to fight off the virus?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's been another 12 hours and I might even have made it either.
How was your wife able to keep up to date with your condition at that time? Because obviously she said goodbye effectively to you on Monday. So we had all of Monday night, all of Tuesday night, all of Wednesday night, then into Thursday. What kind of communication is there between the Galway hospital, or is it through your GP and your loved ones, Joe?
Well, from what I know, she was able to call the hospital. Now, you see, it was Letterkenny she was dealing with first on the Monday. And they just kept telling her I was critical but stable.
Wow. I mean, those are strong
and
words
the
for 47-year-old.
Yeah, when I was moved to the intensive care units in Galway, that was the same, no change, critical but stable. And that's all they would keep telling her, just critical but stable.
Right. So on Thursday then, you wake up with this mask, you've the realisation that there are pipes stitched into your neck to keep your breathing to assist you. What happens next?
Well, the doctor dealing with me actually said to me, would I like something to eat? And I wanted out of the bubble. You know, I was sitting looking at my hands, the colour of my skin, the colour of my nails, and I thought, it's over.
What colour were they?
They were just like a dead man's hands. And I just thought, this is over here. I had very little feelings in my hands, and I just thought, it's all gone and finished.
Mm. And were you able to get reassurance on that? I mean, did you mention that to the doctor? Did you say, what's going on? Why is my skin this colour? Because obviously this is one of the complications of it, by the way, and it's great, Joe, that you're speaking out so people really get the message. When you can't breathe properly, it puts incredible pressure on your other organs, and you can have, you know, serious issues with organ failure elsewhere in the body, and that's why they need to get this enriched oxygen into you. So you wanted to get out of the cocoon, you wanted to eat. What happened then?
Well, see, they took me out of the cocoon and they brought me tea and toast, and I remember looking and saying that the nurse brought her the toast, and to be fair, the toast was, in my eyes, you know, slightly overdone on one side, and I cursed and I went, bloody hell, that's well done, you know. I remember saying that to the nurse and she kind of laughed, but I had half a slice of toast and I drank some tea.
Yeah.
And then I was sick again a while after, and then I didn't realise I had I was being fed as well, tube fed.
Right.
And with me coughing and being sick.
And your stomach not used to solids for four days either.
Yeah. I loosened the pipe that was feeding me and they had to remove that.
Mm.
And I took a wild craving for orange juice, which I got. But then, after a day or two, you came out, it was, no, we don't have any. You got it in the morning, but the services, the staff were excellent, but they need more funding.
Yeah.
They definitely need more funding, and without a doubt, if I could help, I would.
Right, so Thursday, Friday, into the weekend, you're still in Galway. Are you still critical but stable at this point? Has any colour started to return to your hands and body?
The colour still hadn't returned to my hands, the Saturday, Sunday. But it was a Saturday before I realised that I can beat this. When they moved me, and they kept telling me, look, your numbers is good. Look, you could recover here. Your numbers is good. But they also were talking in the background, and I just didn't believe them. You know, you're just in a dark place when you can't speak to none of your family, and
you're saying, are they just saying this to keep me content for my final few hours, or is it what they're saying? You start second guessing absolutely everything, I'm presuming.
Yeah, that's the way it was.
But then, so through Saturday, you started saying, right, that maybe what they're telling me is true. Maybe I'm going to beat that. How have you progressed since then? Was it every day you started feeling a little bit better?
Well, the Saturday, they moved me up to an isolation ward, which I was on a ward of my own. And obviously, being incubated on intensive care, I had no strength, no energy. I couldn't walk. And I remember on a Saturday night ringing the bell and asking nurses for help to the bathroom, and which she did, and then they helped me back into bed. And then the same on the Sunday morning, ringing and getting helped in the bathroom, and then she says, look, pull that string whenever you need help back to bed. I took it upon myself, kind of, though, I'm going to make it back to bed on my own.
You were testing yourself.
Yeah, and I did. And I made it back to bed on my own and kind of pushed myself in. To be fair, I know I had no contact because I had no phones, no nothing with me. The hospital, Galway Hospital, the staff there were really generous, and they bought a hospital or a phone for the ward, where I was able to contact home, which kind of lifted me a bit, you know. But without that, you know, I probably would still be in hospital today.
Let me ask you a question. Do you feel that you've come back from the dead?
Yeah.
Is that how it feels?
Yeah.
I mean, that's there's a lot to process there in your head as well. I mean, I can't imagine what it would have been like when you realised that wasn't the case, that you know, you were back from the dead and that you would have more time with your family.
Yes, I see that it's a very close call. People listening, stay at home. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I wouldn't put anybody through what I went through, and let me tell you, it was pure hell.
There's people out there still call it a flu.
Let me tell you, I've had flus umpteen times, and there's no way that this is a flu. This will, if you get this and you don't get seen to you properly, this will take you out.
So when did you get home then?
On Monday, they come in and says to me in Galway, we're maybe going to shift you back to Letterkenny today.
Yes.
For a few days. That was grand. I come in, this is right, we're going to get you away at 12:30, and 12:30 come, nobody come in, 1:30, 2:30. They come in then at 3:00 and says, right, I'm going to see you take you now. So I get back to Letterkenny around 7:00 on Monday night. And being hungry because just I'm a picky eater. And in Galway, the choices of food wouldn't been there. It was just, can you leave your table at the door? And I just opened the door, set the food in, and closed it again. You know, you weren't asked, do you want this or do you want that? Mm. Where in Letterkenny, when I landed back in Letterkenny on the Monday, once I got straight to the ward, the first words was, have you eaten? Would you like something to eat? And I says, I would love a banana. And the guys landed on with tea, sandwiches, and two bananas, which was heaven.
It's like the meal of the century to you, I'd say.
Yeah.
Right. And after that, then, how long were you in Letterkenny before they allowed you home?
Well, on Tuesday, then, the doctor came in to see me, Tuesday morning, and she says, look, and not sleeping, know yourself, you never sleep too well in a hospital. And I says, look, I would just love to get home today. Because I was up and about, and I was able to shower, and I was eating, and okay, still feel weak and still short of breath. It will take time to build my strength back up again, and it will take time to get everything right. And with the help of God, that there is no lasting effects, because they don't know, is there going to be permanent damage?
Because, I mean, we know with pneumonia, you can get scarring on the lungs, and we just don't really know yet what the consequences of this might be fully in terms of was any other. But they let you out of the hospital, so, you know, and you're on the road to recovery. You know, when yourself, you feel you're going to get better, Joe, don't you? I mean, I know you're so much more improved, but you'd have a good read yourself as to how you're feeling now.
Yeah. No, I know I have a long road of recovery ahead of me, and I know it'll take a while to get built back up again. I'm over a stone and weight off as well.
Wow.
But just within a week. You know, so I do have a long road ahead of me, but
burnt toast aside. Burnt toast aside, what do you have to say to the people looked after you?
I thank them very, very much for saving my life. Because without them, I wouldn't be here today. So I thank them from the bottom of my heart.
Okay, and we have to join with you in thanking them by following these rules. This is why we're doing this. You're a 47-year-old man. Yes, you've hypertension and issues with your heart, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's why, you know, that's why it hits you like it hits you. We just don't know the ins and outs of it. But you're one of just 53 so far to get out of ICU. Hopefully there'll be many, many more. We're delighted you're back home with your family. Everyone in lockdown at the moment. Your wife obviously was a close contact. Have they been tested? Are you worried about that now? Or are you safe in the house and you can worry about getting fully better?
No, none of my other family have been tested. They had a wee bit of a cough, but, you know, not everybody gets the full symptoms.
Yeah.
You know, no, they all seem fine, and it's been long enough now. If they did have anything, they would be showing. They have been checking. I've been making her check everyone's temperature nearly every day, make sure it's not rising.
Yes,
because one of the major signs is if you have a high temperature and a cough, my advice is get locked about right away. Stay isolated until you're tested. And if your breathing is shallow, get an ambulance.
Right. Joe, listen, I'm delighted that you're well enough to speak to us now. And it really drives home the message that what we're dealing with here, it's not a joke, it's not a hoax, it's not a flu. It's a very serious disease-causing virus. And you're here by the grace of God and at the hands of medical professionals.
Yeah. Right. And I'd like to thank everyone who prayed for me as well. Okay. Because I do believe half of Anishun was in contact with my wife. And there's priests left, right and centre had been contacted and were praying for me. So I'd like to thank everyone for everything.
All right, the peninsula got you through. Listen, thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Take care of yourself. All right. And enjoy your family.